Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Pearls, 15 minutes of wisdom for Catholic moms. I'm Sterling Jaquith, and quick update on me. I'm both awesome and terrible at the same time, so my pain has been a lot less. I mean, it feels like a miracle to me, you guys. I mean, this time, my last pregnancy, I couldn't walk, and I was in so much pain. And I'm just not. So praise God for that. And part of it is I've just been really babying myself so I don't bend over and pick things up even when I really, really want to. And I minimize trips up the stairs and I wait until someone can help me, which is really humbling, right? It's really humbling to get up the stairs and then have to ask my daughter to go get my shoes because I forgot them. But that's what I have to do. And so I've been better. I haven't been podcasting as much because I'm just really babying myself and protecting myself. So I'm just kind of giving all that energy to the kids. And then when they go to sleep, which is when I was normally working, I just lay down because I'm pregnant and growing a person. And so, you know, I feel a lot happier this time around, which surprises me. But at the same time, I think my marriage is still kind of taking a big hit. And my body image has taken a big hit. And even last time, that wasn't even a big deal to me. I mean, when you get pregnant, you gain weight. It's not a big deal. But this time, I don't know. It hurts a lot more. And part of it is I'm staying in a room with a giant mirror on the wall. So it'd be like sleeping in a ballet studio. And it's, I think partly I'm just staring at myself all the time. And we don't normally do that. But like, I feel like Jabba the Hutt, right? Like when I'm sitting up and I just, my face and my tummy and I weigh more than I have really in a long time. I mean, I got higher than this in the last pregnancy. And again, normally I feel like I have a pretty positive view about especially baby weight, but maybe just because this is the third year and I'm just wearing the same clothes and feeling kind of yucky, that has been harder for me this time. So different things are hard, but overall I'd say I'm happier, but partly I'm achieving that by not working and not doing this, which is, you know, such an outlet for me. And so that's been a big sacrifice, but I've noticed it's made a big difference. Just kind of pare back and focus on a few short and simple things at home. That's the other thing. I really try not to leave the house, which in some seasons of motherhood make you feel really crazy and lonely and isolated. For me right now, though, it feels like self-care and a gift, and I don't feel lonely and isolated. I feel so happy that I can take care of my kids and I'm not screaming in pain to get in and out of the bed or the bathtub, you know? So huge, huge win for me. So what I want to talk about today is setting boundaries. I put out a Facebook request and said, you know, what stresses you out about summer? And I wrote every single thing down that everyone said. And then I thought, okay, let's categorize these things. You know, if you were sitting next to me and you said, you know, this stresses me out, what advice would I give? And I was looking for themes. And so there were three major themes, and I'm going to go over one of them today. So one of them was setting boundaries. There were a whole bunch of things that people said that I thought really just kind of fell into this idea of setting boundaries with ourselves and with other people. So I'm going to address actually every single one that fit into this category so you can see how I would work through each of these situations. Now, I copied them and put them in a Word document. I don't remember who said them, so I don't at the moment have background on each of these things. And all I'm saying is this is how I would deal with it if it were me, right? So sometimes there's extenuating circumstances that might change my answer. But for right now, for kind of the average mom, if this was the problem, here is how I would suggest setting healthy boundaries. So number one, I kind of identified with was getting scolded for being a party pooper and not wanting to be gone from the house for all day events or camping. This was said in some way a few times. And, you know, really, it's especially when you have little kids or a lot of kids, people don't always realize how challenging that is. And so they will actually call you names like party pooper for not being willing to pack everybody up and go to the splash pad park, you know, at 10 a.m. And for me, like, my kids sleep at 10 a.m. But for some reason, all the summer events are always at 10. And so I'm like, okay, pretend that my body was strong and I could go to the park. It's hard for me to want, because I want to see my friends and I want my kids to socialize, and being outside and going to Splash Pad Park sounds awesome. But I know that I will pay for that for the whole rest of the day by blowing the naps and ruining our schedule. And I have to decide first if that's worth it to me or not. And then I have to have a real talk with myself. Am I okay with my decision? Because sometimes we make a decision, but then we're still sad about it. Or maybe deep down, that's not what we want. Or maybe we haven't addressed the fears that we have or the complexes that we have about this. And then the last thing is, we don't always communicate how we're feeling to other people. So I'm going to walk you through this a little more slowly. So the first thing that you have to do is create a philosophy around the thing that you need to set a boundary about, okay? So someone's made you feel bad. Oh, you have this moment. Oh, I feel bad about myself, okay? So just notice that. Then maybe I'm a big paper person, so I take out a scrap piece of paper. It's not even fancy. And I'll just say, hey, do I think it's worth it to go to the splash pad, all right? And, you know, I would list all of those positive things: socialization for me and the kids, getting out, doing those things, versus, you know, blowing up our routine, having lots of tears for the rest of the day. It's just stressful to pack everybody up, okay? And I would first decide, how do I feel about it? Do I think this is worth it? For me personally, I would probably pick one time a month and do it. I'd be like, yes, I'm committed to this time in May, June, and July, right? We're going to go 3 times this summer, and it's worth it for me to blow my day, and I know it's going to be difficult, but I've decided that it's worth it for our family. I'll tell you right now, for me in this season, we will go 0 times this summer, okay? I would rather buy my kids an awesome hose attachment that they could use in my backyard every day and tell my friends, look, your kids can come here, but we're just not leaving the house this summer. Okay. And that may sound extreme, but let me tell you, my husband takes my kids camping and hiking and biking and all this fun stuff, and they do stuff. I just don't take them out by myself. I have a solid boundary about that. Okay. I'm very clear on my philosophy. So once you get clear on your philosophy, okay, and I'm going to write these steps in a blog post, so you can just take this in, but then you can pop over to sterlingjakewood.com, click on Coffee and Pearls, and then you can just look at these steps. So you've created a philosophy. Then you need to schedule it. Like I said, are you going to do it 0 times or 3 times or once a week? Whatever it is, decide. Then I want you to communicate those boundaries to your friends. I am a big fan of emailing just my whole group of people that I know here in Boise and saying, hey guys, this is what's up with me right now. Because then they don't feel like it's personal, right? It's not like friend A thinks I'm always saying no to her and saying yes to friend B. And it might look like that if I had said no to friend A, but friend B just happened to be at the one event that I decided I was going to buck up and be strong for, right? But it really had nothing to do with who was going to be there. Maybe it had to do with Tuesdays were a good day for us, right? And so when you communicate boundaries to everyone in your life, it takes so much of this stress away, because you're just saying, hey, from a strong, calm mama bear place, this is how my family is going to be. You could even tell them why, but you don't owe them the why. So that's up to you. You know, some of us may not feel comfortable saying, like, oh, I'm really struggling with anxiety right now. You don't even need to say that. You can just say, this is what our family is doing this summer. God bless. Love all of you. You can be positive about it. You know, it's not bad news. You're just communicating what is. And then you won't feel bad later when somebody asks you, because you'll already have created that strength and you'll know what your answer is. Because so much of our stress comes from being caught like deer in the headlights when someone says, hey, do you want to come over on Friday? And first of all, for me as an extrovert, my answer is always, yes, of course I want to come over on Friday. I would love to sit and drink coffee and eat whatever awesome, terribly bad thing that you're going to make for me and the kids and just laugh with you. I would love that. But I can't do that right now. I have to protect myself, and this year, really, it's just not the year that that's going to happen. Okay? So, communicating those boundaries. So let me say those three steps again. One, create your philosophy. This might take a while. You might need to think about it, write it down, and then come back to it another day, or do it in adoration. This should not be a quick process, especially. It should take longer the more this issue is causing you stress. Okay? Number two, make your schedule. Okay? And then number three, communicate those boundaries to other people. All right? So now I'm going to go through all of the other things that women said where I feel like this process could help them, and I'll do it much faster. So one was balancing downtime, free time, play time, and friend time. Such a good one. That is hard over the summer. And again, I would just create my philosophy. Like, I really want my kids to spend at least 2 hours outside and at least 2 hours of quiet time. The rest I don't schedule as much. And then they have a certain amount of chores that need to be done. It's not much, by the way. I was at my therapist's office the other day, and I could tell she thought that I was a slave driver. She's not Catholic, and that I made my kids do all this stuff. And I guess it did sound like that, but I wanted to say, like, oh, this takes them 10 minutes in the morning, like, and then they get to play all day. So it doesn't have to be a big deal. But you just need to decide for you. What do you think? Create your philosophy. Create a schedule, even if it's not a rigid schedule. Mine tends to be pretty fluid. I just have these buckets I want to fill, right? I want to fill the quiet time bucket. I want to fill the outdoors time bucket. And then I like to fill the I'm going to read books to the kids bucket. But even that on a bad day doesn't happen, okay? So the next one feels the same to me, balancing homeschool with fun things like the beach, right? I love the we take Thursdays off approach, you know, or, hey, we're just going to school for X number of hours. We get done when we get done, and then we're going to move on. But, you know, create your philosophy from a place of peace. You don't want to do that at the end of the day when you've had a terrible day and you feel like a bad mom, right? That's not the time to do it. We're going to talk about deep work in the next episode. And deep work is where I like to create space for solving problems. But, you know, you want to solve this problem from a place of peace and clarity, not from a place at the end of the day when your, you know, tank of energy and clarity of thinking is just shot. Overscheduling was another one. Yeah. And you know what? If you've overscheduled and it's stressing you out and you sit down and create a philosophy that says, I will not do that to myself or my family, then you feel solid about your schedule. Or your philosophy, you go through and you trim your schedule and then you communicate those boundaries. Hey, I'm sorry, we were going to do swimming lessons, but now we're not. I was going to host park days, but I can't. Okay? Everyone respects a mom who sets solid boundaries, right? Like, setting solid boundaries is the new coach purse, okay? When you see a mom do that, you're like, wow, she's amazing. I want to be like her, okay? So, nobody gets grumpy about that because we all need to do more of it and we respect that in someone else. There were a lot of women who mentioned, you know, having to plan the day, not having a routine, having a lack of structure, right? This goes for the moms whose kids are in school and then all of a sudden they're thrown at home. So again, come up with that philosophy. Are you going to let them run wild and be crazy monkeys? Spoiler alert, that doesn't tend to work out very well. Are you going to have a hyper rigid schedule? At 9:30, we will do this. At 10, we will do this. That works well for some moms. Okay. I tend to have more of a, like I said, a bucket approach. Like, okay, you know, how's today going? Did we get these things in? If not, I'm going to stick in quiet time right now, but I'm not super rigid about when it happens. And nap time tends to happen when somebody breaks down and starts crying. So that's how I determine nap time. But then I know what I'm doing with the other kids while nap time is happening, right? So that's how I have a schedule, but it's not rigid. Okay. So just decide. Some of you are laid back, whatever, moms, and you don't need to plan a day. But if it's stressing you out, acknowledge that, create a philosophy, schedule it, and communicate those boundaries. And that communication piece is probably going to happen to your kids or your husband or the neighbors. Hey neighbors, we're not free to play until 10 a.m. Please don't come knock on our door. Or hey neighbors, I've hung a sign, a giant circle on my front door. When it's green, my kids are free to play. When it's red, we are not. Please don't come and ask. Okay? Great way to set boundaries. Okay? This next one I thought was such a great comment. Not living up to kid expectations. And oh my goodness, we all have that, right? I mean, I've had that for the last 3 years, right? Everybody's doing summer camps and swimming and all this awesome stuff. And it's so easy for me to go down the I'm not doing enough rabbit hole. All right? But then I pull back and I think of my childhood and I think of how stressed it seems to me that the families are that are doing something all the time. And my children just live a really lovely life. They live a really lovely life without all that stuff. And that's my philosophy and my choice. So you either need to have a heart-to-heart with yourself and say, do I think swimming lessons are absolutely critical? And are they critical this year or not? But if you're constantly chewing on the guilt of swimming lessons without really processing it intellectually, that's just going to weigh you down and drain your battery, and you'll have no solution on that, okay? And if your kids are snotty and entitled, and every single child is snotty and entitled until we teach them not to be, so that was not a judgment. I love how Jordan Peterson says that. He's like, children are barbarians until we teach them not to be, so that's great. Then you need to sit down and explain to them why you're not doing that. Hey, my family doesn't have enough money to go stay at a lake house for 2 weeks, but what are some things you'd like to do? And let's talk about it and maybe we can work them in, right? My kids almost always say painting. I'm like, okay, I don't love painting. It creates a huge mess, but I can do that once every 2 weeks for an hour. And if that makes them happy and that feels novel to them, and that's within my reach, then I'll do it. And then I'm not going to beat myself up about not having the lake house experience, okay? So not living up to kid expectations. Again, create a philosophy, schedule what you're going to do, communicate boundaries. This next one kind of ties into that blowing budget on the kids, right? That means that you just fell for that trap of, hey, we have to do this and this and this and this and this, and you spent more money than you should, or you're planning on it. If it hasn't happened yet, then fix that quickly, right? I'm a big Dave Ramsey-er. Don't spend money you don't have, and don't blow money on the kids, especially if it's not going to matter. A lot of times the stuff we spend a lot of money on doesn't matter. You know, it's just not the thing that they remember. My kids do not remember or really enjoy going to the zoo, which drives me nuts because I love the zoo. And so I remember it was like last year, I just didn't buy a pass to the zoo. And they haven't even mentioned it, you know? But I'll tell you what they do love. They love riding their bikes 5 blocks down the street to look at this one neighbor who has an entire block worth of lilacs. And they love that so much. It smells so nice. And I could tell it's part of their childhood traditions now. When they see the first lilac, they're like, oh, the lilacs are here, right? I couldn't have planned that. I couldn't have known that that was important to them. And if you just pay attention to where their joy comes from and their memories come from, it can help you sift through what actually penetrates their hearts and exposes them to the truth, goodness, and beauty of the world versus what's just really sensational that you don't have to do. Okay. And that hits the last one, which is there are just too many activities to choose from, right? So it's overwhelming. And I totally agree. I mean, when you get that Parks and Rec thing, I'm like, oh, that sounds so great. I want to learn how to, you know, use a loom. I want to do all these cool things. So you just need to go through it, create your philosophy. One kid gets a thing, no kid gets anything. We're going to do this together. I'm going to try to teach them this at home using YouTube videos. I mean, there's just ways to problem solve every single one of these issues that stress us out, but you have to create a space to think about it. And you have to create a philosophy and then communicate those boundaries. And maybe you need to communicate those boundaries to yourself. If I am having trouble with that, let's address my Zillow house searching problem. And I can't seem to give it up, right? And in my clear moments of clarity, I always want to say sobriety, but that's not really true. I just mean my like crystal clear thinking. I'm like, yes, we're not moving. And it only makes me unhappy to look at the houses that I can't buy. So I should stop doing that, right? But then it'll be later that night and I'll be bored. And I'm like, well, I wonder if any houses came up for sale. And what I need is like a little, just like a little sticky note, maybe on my iPad that says, don't look at houses. It makes you sad. And then I'd go, right, in that moment of clarity, I did decide that that wasn't good for me. Okay, so sometimes the boundary that needs to be set is with yourself. All right, so that's category one for having a less stressful summer. In the next episode, we're going to talk about the second category, which is things that are annoying, because dealing with things that are annoying, like putting on sunscreen or hearing the kids say I'm bored, I would deal with those things in a different way. So thanks so much for listening to Coffee and Pearls, and have a blessed day.